We know, of course, that we are doing our best to immerse ourselves as members of this local body this quarter and especially this month in this book of wise advice. Advice that teaches us how to live this life with skill. Of course, for the month, we're doing our best to read through the book of Proverbs. This quarter in our adult Bible class on Sunday mornings, we're making our way through the book of Proverbs and looking at a variety of different topics. So we're doing our best to take in as much divine wisdom as we possibly can. If you're not taking advantage of those two avenues that we've already mentioned, let me encourage you to do your best. This week, if you don't have a calendar, pick that up on the visitor's table in the foyer and do your best just to pick up where we are. We're not all that far along this month in our reading. Open up God's Word and begin the day or end the day on the best note possible. If you haven't been here for our Bible classes on Sunday morning, be here. Make that effort to grow right along with us. Gordon mentioned to me this morning after our study that, you know, you can feel as if you're doing pretty well, but as we look at some of this very, very straightforward but very valuable advice, it sets into tone for all of us that we've got a lot of growing to do. In the way that we use our mouths, in the way that we interact with other people. As we studied this morning, the way that we interact with friends and the way that we try to maintain and grow our friendship. Whomever you are, we've got a lot to learn. We're glad that you're here this evening because we want to look at this book from a little bit of a different angle. We have all, those of us who have spent any amount of time in God's Word, heard of the Proverbs 31 woman. And what a lofty goal that is for modern women, even in 21st century America. And Lord willing, next Sunday evening we'll talk about the Proverbs chapter 31 woman. But I've heard more than one person say, on different occasions, you know, it would be nice if God had provided a 32nd chapter to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31 gives such a glorious and magnificent picture of the virtuous woman. Why not have a Proverbs 32 man? All of that is encapsulated. But what I want to suggest to you this evening is something that a friend of mine pointed out that really made an impression on me. The fact is that we don't need necessarily a Proverbs 32 because we begin in chapter 1 and we find really God's expectation of what we could call the Proverbs 1 to 30 man. Maybe you can take that in a variety of different ways. Maybe you think, well, that's appropriate because men need a lot more work than women. You know, women have one chapter and men have 30 different chapters. Really, many of the things that we want to talk about this evening apply both to men and women. We want to talk about four specific areas of life. But I would suggest to you that most of us, if not all of us this evening, can find very specific instructions from the first 30 chapters of the book of Proverbs that we can hone in on. Areas of life where we can most certainly grow. If you're a man this evening, then I would suggest to you to keep in mind as we go throughout this study, this is what I need to grow to be like. Here's a very tangible target that I can put right in front of my eyes at the beginning of this new week. If you're an unmarried woman this evening, let me encourage you to pay very special attention and recognize that if you desire a happy marriage, then you ought to look for this kind of a man. You ought to look for the kind of man who is making these things that we're talking about this evening one of his greatest aspirations in life. Those of you who are parents of boys, here is the target that you ought to establish for your sons. Those of us who are parents of daughters, we need to do our best over the course of time to cultivate within our daughters the desire to seek out this kind of a man. with these kind of priorities and this kind of a life goal to spend the rest of their lives with. Whomever you are, there is something in this lesson that you can latch on to for the rest of this week. And most especially as we begin in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about the virtuous man and his God. We know that God has established a basic principle of male spiritual leadership, that especially within the home, men are to set the tone and to cast the vision and to establish the goals and to lead the way. But we recognize that even in Christian households, that's not always the case. That even in Christian households, sometimes men live as if they were laws all to themselves. We need to recognize from the very beginning this evening that whomever I am, man or woman, young or old, I am not ultimately the head even of my own life. That's God. And as such, before I worry about anything else, before I worry about my job, before I worry about my family, before I worry about my friends, before I especially worry about getting all of the other people around me in line, I've got to make sure that my own relationship with God is right. And that begins in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Marcus read for us the first 7 verses. The first 6 verses give us the foundation for the rest of the book. Here's what's about to be talked about. And the first foundational truth in Proverbs chapter 1 is in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Whatever you know, whatever you feel like you know, here is the very beginning as defined by the Creator. The fear of the Lord, fearful respect and reverence and the awe that we were talking about this morning. Fools, on the other hand, despise wisdom and instruction. Number one, fear the Lord. Develop a healthy reverence of God. And if you do that, everything else that we talk about this evening, everything else in life will naturally fall into its proper place. The problem is, most of us don't do that, right? Most of us don't find that very natural and easy. We find it much more easy to walk in whatever way that we want to walk and then try and justify ourselves afterwards. You want to be the man that God always intended you to be. It begins with a fearful relationship with God. A few pages later in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the wise instructions continue when this wise writer says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Those of you who are about to go into college for the first time, those of you who are about to go back to school, those of us who will go to work tomorrow in very secular and worldly environments, all of us at the beginning of this new week, here's the goal. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whomever you are, men or women, young or old, don't lean on your own understanding. Whatever you do in life, whether at home, at work, among brethren, do it based on what God says. Same chapter, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Those are words that I need to hear at the beginning of this new week. And granted, I may not always know the extent to which God is behind whatever is happening in my life. But I'm encouraged in the pathways of wisdom to look at what happens in my life, whether good or bad, and learn from it. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Pay attention to your decisions and the consequences that come from those decisions. You turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and the 16th verse of that chapter, continuing in this basic point of a man or a woman and his or her God. Proverbs 15 and the 16th verse of the chapter, where we're assured, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. You know what that says? Be content with having God. No matter what else we have, whether it's great or small, be content in having that most precious of relationships with your Creator. Because great treasure without God will not satisfy, will not last, may do nothing more than get me into trouble. I need to listen to that this week. I need to get a copy of the CD of all of these scriptures from this evening, not because of what I'm saying or because I like to hear the sound of my voice, but to put that into the car and listen to this wisdom as I'm driving around, to constantly refresh myself on the basic priorities of life. You go back with me to Proverbs chapter 28 and the 13th verse of the chapter, and you look toward the end of this large book filled with wisdom at how the writer begins to draw everything to a close. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, he assures us, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. No one else may know about it. Mom and Dad may not know what I do as soon as I get out on my own. My brothers and my sisters in Christ may have no idea the way that I actually live Monday through Monday. But the God of heaven knows. He who confesses and forsakes his transgressions will obtain mercy. Just because I sin doesn't mean that it's too late, that I've cast off everything and all hope for the future. But I've got to be honest with my Creator. I've got to take off the masks, stop hiding, be honest about my relationship with Him. Stop trying to cover it up. Stop trying to justify and come up with excuses. Be honest. Confess them. Turn away from them. Finally, under this heading in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, a way to summarize everything that we've talked about so far. In all your ways. Listen, that applies to you. That's something that you can do this week. In all your ways. At home. At work. When you're in the middle of a traffic jam. When things are going great in your interactions with other people, and when things are absolutely lousy, when you're being treated the way you feel like you deserve it, and you're being treated like the filthiest dirt on the ground, whatever the circumstance you find yourself in this week, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He is the rudder of your life. He is the great compass of your existence. He is the one that defines what's good and right and holy and acceptable. You acknowledge Him. You depend on Him. You cast good and bad, your anxieties and your joy, everything on Him, and He will make straight your paths. It begins with Him. Glorify Him in the way that you live this week. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. We said that there were four major points. Number one, the virtuous man and his God. Number two, the virtuous man and this thing called wisdom. We've studied earlier, a couple of weeks ago in our adult Bible study, that Solomon begins his book in chapter 1 by declaring that we ought to follow after wisdom, to seek her. Because in verse 20, she cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones? Listen, this is wisdom. talking to me and talking to you. How long will you love being simple? Walking through life making all sorts of mistakes. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? How long will we live with the idea that it's cool to go out and live in whatever way you want to live and make an absolute fool of yourself? To wake up on Monday morning and to not even remember what you did this weekend. How long will we refuse to listen to the God who created us? In verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, wisdom says, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. There are going to be times that we make bad decisions and we've got to live with the consequences of those bad decisions. And then they call upon wisdom, but she says, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. To the one who insists on living in whatever way he or she chooses, to use the language of Paul in Romans, he gives them up to their vile passions. God isn't going to force me to live the way that he wants me to live. But he will allow me to hit rock bottom the way that the prodigal son did. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Those who are just completely unmotivated to do anything at all with their life. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or disaster. Very few follow after wisdom. How much more fun we have been deceived into thinking to be able just to go out and do whatever seems right. And because we do what feels good, instead of being wise, we find that we mess things up. There is a way, we're told in chapter 14 and verse 12, that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Two times. We're meant to get that message, aren't we? When we've messed up our lives, we want someone to bail us out. Wisdom says, I won't. So it's my responsibility to think before I act. How much better in chapter 16 and verse 16 to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Do you believe that this evening? You turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Let me encourage you this week. Those of you who are young this week. Those of you who are older this week. Allow truth and mercy and honesty to be your guide. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Chapter 11 and verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Be honest. Be just in your dealings with the people around you. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Don't accept the modern philosophy that all truth is relative. That you can have your truth and I'll have my truth, and really there aren't any absolutes. God says truth. My word is truth. And that is absolutely absolute. Some things are right and some things are wrong. And you choose what is right. Back in Proverbs 11, if you turn back there with me, we'll pick up in verse 14. If you are to seek wisdom, you must recognize that you don't have all wisdom. Therefore, you should seek counsel from a higher source. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Listen to your elders. Listen to God's word as it's being preached and taught and meditated upon. Listen to your older brethren. Listen to your younger brethren if they're coming to you with the truth. Because you don't know everything. And we can all always learn. Proverbs 13 and verse 10, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Chapter 15 and verse 12, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. And how many biblical examples we could visit this evening to prove when people had the opportunity to listen to the wisdom of someone else or to listen to God Himself, they didn't. And the disastrous consequences that could have been avoided. Get rid of your pride and your arrogance. Chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Chapter 8, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech, God says, I hate. Chapter 11 and verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble. Those who are willing to listen, willing to be taught, is wisdom. Chapter 16, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. As we've studied in recent weeks in our class, learn to control your tongue. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Chapter 11 and verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Chapter 15. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is a false speech to a prince. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Those are words that I need to hear at the beginning of this week. Hand in hand with the use of my tongue, the controlling of my anger. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. You don't be the one who explodes quickly or emotionally jumps to conclusions and reactions. No. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. You keep things in their proper perspective. You don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow may bring. You may be looking forward to retirement. You may be putting all of your baskets or all of your eggs in one basket. You may feel as if you've got it all figured out, and you'll get all of this God stuff added in as time comes along, and you spend more time with your family later on, and you'll do all of these things that you know to be right at some point. Listen to wisdom this evening. You don't know. Finally, under this heading, Proverbs 22 and verse 1, another good way to sum up many other issues of seeking wisdom. Recognize that having a good character, which develops a good reputation, is better than all of the money in this world. It's to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Work so that your name brings a positive image to people's minds. Live in such a way that others can say to their friends, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. Don't sell your character or your reputation for lust or money. Number three, a virtuous man and his family. Turn back with me to Proverbs 24 and the 27th verse of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 27. We know that our job, especially as men, is to work to provide for our families. We've been told in the New Testament that if we don't do that, we're worse than an unbeliever. That involves preparation, the way that we talked about this morning. That involves looking ahead. Proverbs 24 and verse 27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Before you start thinking about a family, make sure that you can support them. Have your fields ready first. You may be in love, but are you prepared to support a bride? Are you prepared to be that spiritual leader? Once you do get married, before you start buying everything that you want, have your fields prepared to support it. How many people, young and old, get in amazing debt because they couldn't say no and they didn't work to prepare their fields before they bought? Proverbs 5 and verse 15, speaking about our relationship with our spouse. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Don't delight with someone else's wife. Too many are deceived into believing that the water is sweeter in another well. God says the water is sweetest in your own well. Stay there. Don't wander away from home. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. As far as our children, you train them up in the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's our job. Fathers, that's our job, to bring our children to spiritual maturity. We don't hand that off to the church or to government or to schools or anywhere else. You figure out the way that your kids ought to go, and then you train them in that. A key issue of leadership. Finally, under that heading, Proverbs 19 and verse 13, a foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Maybe as we read that, we instantly think, well, this is a commandment to children and a commandment to women. But men, before you look at your children and before you look at your wives, you look at yourself. Have you raised foolish children? Don't give your wife reason to nag. We recognize that one can be a good father and a good husband and still have perhaps a foolish son or a contentious wife. But before you accuse them, you look at yourself and the way that you're living as the leader of that family. Our last point for this evening. So much in the book of Proverbs addresses our work, our money. So many goals that people have, people we will work with this week, so many goals that people have established for their lives, all built around themselves and greed for the things of this world. Listen to the wise mindset we already noted from 1 Timothy 5, our goal. Listen in Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. Be discerning enough to say no. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. So many things in this life will not last. Our goal is demonstrated in passages like Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? You work hard. You be industrious. You do the best that you possibly can. You avoid laziness, whether it's on the job or at home, because you'll stand before kings. You won't stand before obscure men. You recognize that slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. You look to the simplest of animals. The wise man says, you look at the vineyard of a sluggard, and behold, it's overgrown with thorns, and the ground is covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I don't have to work all that hard now. I'll take care of it later. But poverty comes upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer, who works now while the day is light, is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuit lacks sense. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Do what you can with what you have. Work as to the Lord. Use your resources wisely to provide for your family, their needs, their future, and the people around you. Our last scripture for this evening from Proverbs 6 and verse 6. You go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Do what you can now. Work while you can now. Take pleasure in pleasing God now. Use the wisdom that He has provided now. Live today now, because that's all that you're guaranteed. You open your songbooks and turn back to the song that has been selected this evening. As we said, Lord willing, next Sunday evening we'll talk about the woman of Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll note that familiar passage that talks about how her worth is more than many jewels. The virtuous wife to a husband is rarer than fine jewels. But the virtuous Proverbs 1 to 30 man may be even more rare than that. Let's heed this wise advice this evening. Let's become virtuous husbands. Virtuous leaders. Let's get rid of the beams that are in our own eyes before we strive to remove the specks that are in our wives' eyes or our friends' eyes or our brethren's eyes. Let's make a part of our prayers this week that there would be a gold mine right here in this local body of virtuous husbands, virtuous men. This evening, we would point you, whomever you are, man or woman, young or old, to this basic principle that all you are guaranteed is today. If you're not a Christian, why not tonight? Why not come to God? Why not come confessing your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing your willingness to turn away from all of the foolish sin and darkness that we've talked about this evening? Wash those sins away in baptism. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, if you are a child of God, undoubtedly you recognize you've got work to do, improvements to make.